Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is the response of the day for the 24th of Shavat. And today we're going to get a chance to talk about a tshuva of Rav Yosef about writing names in Git. Now, I want to say that this tshuva lends itself to a discussion that I think I can make interesting to you, and that we can grapple with some halachic issues that are relevant and interesting, and we can grab hold of them. I want to point out that I think, if anything, I underrepresent in my selections of tshuvot to deal with questions like this. The question of how we pronounce certain names, how we write certain names in Gittin, comes up many, many times, and I've ignored them. I think I've seen them in Rizal Chonin Spector's tshuvot a couple of times, or Sipes Frank's tshuvot a couple of times, and they can seem to me very technical, and therefore not the kind of thing that it's easy to analyze or talk about. But in Rav Yosef's presentation here in Yabia Omer, Volume 10, Chelek Yud, Evan Ezer Lamed Dalid, the 34th response in the Evan Ezer section of that volume of Yabia Omer, from the 24th of Shvat. Now it's dated Tufshin Mem Gimel. It's dated the 24th of Shvat of 1983, which is when he originally wrote it. But by the time he published it, it's clear from later in the Shuvah that it was later, because he refers to Rav Yosef Kapach as a Zal. And we'll see, as having passed away, and Rav Kapach passed away in 2000. So it's clearly a Shuvah that he wrote originally, and then he came back and published it in a later volume. We'll get to that. In any case, it brings up issues of how we write names in Gittin, in bills of divorce, important issues, and it does it in a way that I think lets us get into it and talk about it in what I hope will be an enjoyable and interesting way. And of course, as always, if it's not enjoyable or interesting, or if you have other comments you want to make, you can contact me at grothst, G Rost, my first initial and the first few letters of my last name, at gmail.com. Okay, so Rav Yosef says in 1983, when he's already chief rabbi of the state of Israel, he got a letter from Rav Shilo Rifael, who's a member of the Beit Din of Yerushalayim, who's complaining about his Av Beit Din, who is a Sephardi, and the Sephardi Av Beit Din, the Sephardi head of the Beit Din, insists on writing Gittin, even of Ashkenazic women, using the Sephardic tradition for how we write certain names. And then Rav Yosef gives us a couple of examples which we can go through and will give us a sense of what that means. So, for example, the name Albert, which we know is an English name, A-L-B-E-R-T, he would write it as, this was the Sephardi tradition, was you write it as Aleph Lamed Bet Yud Resh Tet, meaning then Aleph Lamed is Al, and then Bert, they would write Bet Yud Resh Tet, which I might have thought was Beert, but they thought that Bet Yud Resh Tet says Bert. But the Ashkenazi tradition was to write it as Albert Aleph Lamed Bet Ayin Resh Tet. That Ayin was understood to express that sound of Bert. Same thing with Mendel. They write Mem Nun Dalet Lamed, and they assume that we can know that that's Mendel, even though there's nothing in the name, in the writing of the name, that tells you that it's an ad, instead of it could have been Mendel. So Ashkenazi wrote it as Mem Ayin Nun Dalet and Mem Ayin Nun Dalet Lamed Mendel. That's men's names. For women's names, the name Golda, for example, Sephardim write it as Gimel Vav Lamed Dalet Aleph, as modern Hebrew does, and that will come up later in the response, and that's why it's worth noting. Gimel Vav Lamed Dalet Aleph would be Golda, whereas in Ashkenazi tradition, you would have written in a ketubah or a get as Golda Gimel Aleph Lamed Dalet Aleph, so that the A sound is made by an Aleph, and the S sound is made by putting in an Ayin, and so on. So this Sephardi head of a Beit Din, who is not named in the Tshuva, is insisting on writing Gittin in the Sephardic custom, and the Ashkenazi Rav Shilo Rifael, who's a member of the Beit Din, says it's wrong. It's cultural imperialism, as it were, halachic cultural imperialism, as it were. So he says we've got a lot of Ashkenazi in Yerushalayim, and they speak Yiddish, and they write it according to their tradition, and why does he have the right to change our tradition? So Rav Yosef starts off by pointing out there's a sefer called Get Pashut. Sefer Get Pashut is one of the sefarim that tells you how to produce a get the proper way. It's obviously very important to make sure the get is written the proper way, because, God forbid, if a woman gets divorced, thinks she gets divorced, that's going to be a case like that coming up in this tshuva, thinks she gets divorced, and there's some question about whether she gets divorced, she can't remarry, because if she remarries, any children from the second marriage would then be mamzerim. So writing a bill of divorce is really a very important thing. So the book Get Pashut, Rav Yosef points out, it points out the name Perla. And then he puts the parentheses, which is in Loaz Margalit, which is in non-Hebrew languages, the name Margalit, or it's sort of a Hebrew language, but it's not Yiddish, is Margalit, and it's interesting to me because he doesn't mention it, but his wife's name is Margalit. So that name Perla, Sephardim write it as Pe Yud Resh Lamed Aleph, with that Yud as telling you that it's the Per la sound, to tell you that it's got a tsere, it's got an eh sound. Whereas Ashkenazim think that you want to indicate the name eh, the sound eh, you have to write pei ayin resh lamed aleph parallel. So the ayin makes that sound for them, and that's their tradition from Ashkenaz, from when they lived in Western Europe. And so even so, says the Kesevaket Pashat Kishibau Kashibau Lagur Be'aretzenu, when they came to live in our land. And I think that's an interesting point, a comment, and then it says Vanulahem Kahal Bifteasram, and they made a whole community of their own. They write their gittin in their way. And it's not considered, this is Kesevaket Pashat, still the quote, it's not considered a violation or a changing of her name from the right name, because everybody knows, the Sephardim know, that the Ashkenazim write it their way, and the Ashkenazim know that the Sephardim write it their way. So if you see a name in a get written a different way than you think of, you know that each community has its own way, and therefore, says the Sefer Get Pashut, each community should write it in the way that they're used to, and you don't have to worry that people will doubt the validity of the get, right? That's always a worry. You want to make sure that a get is not only valid, that's one standard, we want to make sure it's so valid that other people won't look at it and say, that's not a valid get. That's the second standard that we worry about. So you want to make sure the get is above all reproach or above all suspicion, and that's the Sefer Get Pashut is saying. I want to just point out that this Sefer Get Pashut is assuming, and I think Rav Yosef Stern assumes that as well, that the land of Israel was a Sephardi land for hundreds of years, and then these Ashkenazim came in and started bringing in these other customs. That's an interesting question about whether that's okay, whether that's the way it should have been, whether they might have, should maybe they should have adopted the Sephardi custom that came in. Some of that, I think, is there for Israeli Sephardi poskim, when they think about these kinds of questions about the contrast or the balance between respecting the rights of Ashkenazim and not. So we've seen together Tshuvot of Chaim David Halevi, who says that if an Ashkenazi woman marries a Sephardi man, she can adopt Sephardi customs, especially because that's the more right way to do it. So that's, I think, underlying, I think that's always at play here. In this case, though, the conclusion is that everybody should write their get in their own way, because everybody knows that the other communities write it their own way, and there's no issue that we have to worry about that people will confused and think the gittin are invalid. And so therefore, it seems to be true that when you write a get, it should be written according to the custom of the couple, especially it seems like the custom of the husband. And the reason why it's the custom of the husband is because the Torah says, v'katav la sefer kritut. If two people, if a man and a woman are getting divorced, the way the Torah expresses it is that the husband writes a bill of divorce for the wife. And if that's true, the husband writes a bill of divorce for the wife, then it would seem like we would follow his custom. And that, the Sefer Get Pashut says, it would seem to be true even if the Ashkenazi husband happens to come before a Beit Din Sfaradim, happens to come before a court made up of Sephardi judges, nonetheless, they should respect his traditions and the fact that he comes from an Ashkenazic background, and they write names in it the way he would write the name. So parallel should be with a Pei Ayin Reish Lamed Aleph, not a Pei Yud Reish Lamed Aleph. But then he adds, but if the whole city are Sephardim, and they're just lone Ashkenazim here and there, and they don't have a separate community, so then I think you have to write it according to the Sephardic custom, because in that place, the only custom is, the only established custom is the Sephardic custom, and therefore a get that comes out of that place, if it's misspelled in Sephardic custom versions of spelling, it will call into question the validity of the get, and therefore you shouldn't do it. That is what the Get Pashut says. So therefore, says Rav Yosef, I don't think I have to get involved here, because nowadays, he says, most people, including Ashkenazim, in their non-technical halachic lives, meaning outside of writing a ketubah or a get, they write Hebrew the way Sephardim write Hebrew, meaning if you didn't know, and this is something that I remember, let's say, from when I was in Smicha, you know, they take you aside at some point and say, you need to know something about writing a ketubah, writing a get, you have to know how to write names. Here's how we write names. So you're an Ashkenazi, that's how you write names, that's how you write names. But until then, you would never have thought of writing a name like that, right? How do you spell Golda? Nobody ever thinks to spell the name Golda, Gimel, Aled, Lamed, Dalet. I'll tell you, for when I was growing up, I spelled my last name, Rothstein, in Hebrew, Reish, Vav, Tet, right? Rothstein. But at some point, many years ago already, but at some point we found an old family Torah that was later taken by a relative, so I haven't seen it in a long time. But on the top of the Torah, when it said the name of the person who had donated or dedicated the Torah, it wrote our family name is Reish Aleph Tet, and the fact is it's painted in a hay after the Tet, which shows that when we say Rothstein, and here we say Rutstein, you think the Germans used to say Rutstein, that Rut had a hay sound in it, otherwise we wouldn't put it in there, and that's how it became Rothstein. Anyway, that's not Rav Yosef does not mention me in the tshuva, so all of that was a digression. I apologize for it. The point being that in ordinary life, people write Hebrew the way that Sfardim write Hebrew. They write Golda, Gimel, Vav, Lamed, Dan, Aleph, etc. And not only that, he says if we were to bring the get to an ordinary person who's unlearned and try to get them to read the names, and the names are written in the Ashkenazic way, very often they'll read them wrong. They'll make a mistake, and they might even think, that's a weird thing. That's probably not a valid get. Just ordinary people who don't know any better. So Rav Yosef, his other words saying is that even though you're right that in Sefer Get Pashut it says that the right way to handle these situations is to write get in according to the community of the husband, and if there's an established Ashkenazic community in your town, in your place, then you should write get in according to the Ashkenazic custom for the Ashkenazic people. Even so, if they insist on writing in a Sephardi way, it's not going to invalidate it. Rav Yosef says here, where aside from the question of communities, everybody writes Hebrew in the Sephardi way, and when they read Hebrew, they expect to see it in the Sephardi way, and they'll actually be surprised if they see it in a non-Sephardi way. So therefore he says, I think that b'di'eved, it's okay. B'di'eved, the get is valid. And so therefore there's no need for me to get involved. There's no need to make fights about these kinds of things. So he says, v'yadati b'ni yadati, and I know that in the response to literature, there's a sefer called Ta'alumot Lev, Shu Ta'alumot Lev. He gives a case of in Egypt where there was a get, and it was an Ashkenazi husband, and they wrote Golda Gimel Vav Lamed Dalet Aleph, which is the Sephardi way of writing the word, and the get was given in Brody in Galicia. So you have, I think the husband, let's say, traveled on business or something. He's in Egypt, and he wants to divorce his wife. So he comes to the court, he says, write me a get. He's an Ashkenazi. It's being given in Brody in Galicia, which is an Ashkenazi kind of a place, unless they were Hasidim, which they had adopted Sephardi custom, but basically they're an Ashkenazi kind of a place. Excuse me, and they sent the get with the name Golda, Gimel Vav, Lamed Aleph. And then they asked, it's not clear to me how Rav Shmuel Salant got involved, but they asked Rav Shmuel Salant about it, and he was the Av Beis Din in Yerushalayim. So the get is being written in an Egyptian court, sent to Europe, but somehow he gets involved, and he said, you can be Machshir Bidi Evet, that once it's written and given, you can consider it valid and give it to her and have her accept it as a get and have her think that she's, and have her be divorced, and have her properly consider herself divorced. But there, it's clear in this case that there was a problem of igun, meaning I think that this husband, maybe that's why it's written in Egypt, this husband is disappearing. So he orders the get written, he authorizes the writing to get, they write it in their Sephardi way, even though he's an Ashkenazi guy. They send the get, a question comes up, they turn to Shmuel Salant, he says, well, we're not going to find the husband again. It's okay, b'di'evet. But the Morit Tzedek of Brody, the rabbi who's the posek for Brody in Galicia, refused to say it was valid because he held the name was written wrong. So that's the case. So Rav Shila Raphael could have quoted theoretically this case to Rav Yosef and said, you see, it's not true that b'di'evet we accept the Sephardi writing in getin that are being given from an Ashkenazi man to an Ashkenazi woman. So Rav Yosef says, but it's not the same in our times. He thinks the times have changed. The reason times have changed is because nowadays, anybody who operates in Hebrew, remember it in Brody and back in then, in the 1800s when Rav Shmuel Salant was posting these things, there wasn't a lot of Hebrew around in the world of the people of Brody. But here, Rav Shila Raphael is sitting on a Beit Din in Yerushalayim. All the papers, all the media, all the magazines, all the papers, when they write things, they write them in the Sephardi way. They write the names of men and women in the Sephardi way. So it's not the kind of thing that anybody wouldn't recognize. Meaning, if somebody brought me a get that had the name Golda written Gimel, Vav, Lamed, Dalet, Aleph, it's not like anybody in Israel would make the mistake of thinking that's not the right way to write Golda, because they see it all the time in the papers. True of all sorts of, all the other names, right? So even though it's true that I think L'chadchila you should write an Ashkenazi person's get with the Ashkenazic spelling, but the Eved, I don't think it matters. Once it's done, it takes effect, and therefore, remember the underpinning of all this, and therefore, Rav Yosef is saying, I'm not going to get involved here to get into a fight between you and your Av Beit Din. So that's those kinds of political questions to me are always fascinating, right? When do you decide to mix in or not? How wrong does it have to be for Rav Yosef to step in? So later on, he's going to say there is something that you should step in about, but we haven't gotten there yet. He also throws in right here, V'karov hadavar shamatzav yishtaneh leminhag Sfarad b'dorot habayim. I think it's clear that in coming generations, she's writing in 1983, in coming generations, it all changed to Sephardi writing. And he doesn't mean it just because he's a Sephardi and he believes in Sephardi. It's because he thinks people are just getting so used to writing it that way that it's going to become clear at some point that when you sit down to write a ketubah and you say, what's your name to a woman? She says, my name is Golda. She's going to have been writing her name Golda her whole life in a way that people recognize. So if you say, well, I'm writing the name Golda in your ketubah. Forget the get. I'm going to write the name of your ketubah for your wedding. Gimel Aleph, Lamed Dalet Aleph. Gimel Aleph, Lamed Dalet Aleph. Because that's what we Ashkenazim do. She's going to say, I don't know what you Ashkenazim do, even though I'm an Ashkenazim my whole life, but I've been writing it Gimel Vav Lamed Aleph my whole life. So that he says it's going to change. And I think that makes sense. I'm not saying it's going to be true, but I think it makes sense. He has this long footnote that also he thinks that the question of spelling names in Gittin is less significant than it once was. Not that you can ignore it, but that in this question, if you're going to spell it like this Friday and do it like that, I can do, he thinks it's much less important than it used to be, because nowadays the custom is that once the get has been given to the woman, we tear up the get because we're worried that they'll find problems in it and then the problems will be created, meaning like this, right? You know, we don't want worry. So a Beit Din will say, you give a get. They watch the get is given. They're the bait. We saw the get given. They tear it up and they give her a document that says this woman received the get, not the get itself. She gets a document. So Rav Yosef has a long footnote. He says that means that it's not as important anymore whether the name is spelled parallel with an ayin or with a yud. It's important for the halakhic niceties of the question, but it's not so important because we don't have to worry anymore that people will see the get later on and say, how could you have written that way? It's clearly invalid. Back to our discussion. Now he tells some stories about getting questions that are fascinating stories. He says, when I was very young, I was a misharet. It's not clear to me if he means an intern. I think he means something like an intern. In the Beit Din of Reuven Katz. Reuven Katz was an important time in Chacham, born in 1880 in Europe. He came to America for a few years in his late 40s, and then in 1930s for like 3 years, and then in 1932 moved to Eretz Yisrael and became a head of a Beit Din, and he spent the rest of his life in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Reuven Katz, I think he's known in some circles as the Degel Reuven, because he wrote a sefer called Degel Reuven, an important time at Chacham, and before Reuven Katz, a couple of Sfaridim came, and they needed a divorce, and the woman's name was Rachel. So he wanted to write her name like the Ashkenazi custom, Resh Shin Ayin Lamed. I'm not sure why it wouldn't be Resh Aleph Shin Ayin Lamed, but maybe it's because it's Rachel, not Rachel. But Rachel, he wanted to write it to Rav Yosef, Resh Shin Ayin Lamed. And Rav Yosef said, I stood up and I said, no. He says, I need something panay kachalamesh, meaning he was very strong about it. And interesting thing for me to watch, you know, a young Rav Yosef. Doesn't say when this happened, but Rav Reuven Katz passed away in the early 50s. He came to Eretz Yisrael in the early 30s, and he passed away in the early 50s. It's probably somewhere in that range. So Rav Yosef, I think, is, you know, in his 20s. Sorry, he passed away in 1963. So Rav Yosef could have been as much as 43, but he says Bimei Chorfi, he means he was much younger than that. So he's a young man. Rav Reuven Katz is about to spell the name Rachel the Ashkenazic way, and he stands up, and that political question of standing up to somebody like that, what that does to your relationship with them, is, I think, an undercurrent maybe of much of Rav Yosef's life, but he does it, and he was successful in all the ways that we know about, so it worked for him. And he says, that kind of get, you write a get like that, it's puzzle for Sfaradim. If you write a get like that for a Sfaradim, meaning his whole claim was that when the Av Beit Din of Rav Shila Raphael's Beit Din wrote the Gittin in the Sfaradi way, Rav Yosef says that's not puzzle because everybody nowadays knows the Sfaradi spellings of things in their ordinary life, so it's not a problem. But now you want, he was saying as a younger man, you, to Rav Reuven Katz, you want to write Rachel in an Ashkenazi way. Sfaradim don't recognize that way, and that makes it a get puzzle because Sfaradim are their own community, and if you write a get in a way that members of that community don't recognize as a way to spell that name, then the get is invalid. So he wanted to try to convince me, no, this is always the way we write the get. We've always written get in this way. And I didn't answer, but I showed him a letter from Rav Eliyahu Alfandari or a book called Michtam Eliyahu Alfandari, that when you write names, you should write an aleph whenever there's a patach. Whenever there's an ah sound, you should put an aleph in the word. And you write a yud whenever there's a tsevri. Whenever there's an a or an s sound, you put a yud in. So, and that's the way it is also in French, which is the origin of this name. And then in parentheses, he puts out that Marav Ben Chaviv points out that when you write the name of a person, we're writing it in Hebrew letters for sure, but you're supposed to rely on the pronunciation of that name the way it was in the language that it was pronounced. So you can't say, well, the name Rachel in Hebrew is Rachel, I'll write it as Rachel. It's not the way it works. If it's the name Rachel and that's the way she pronounces her name, you have to write it in the way that it was pronounced, and then you have to figure out a way to write in Hebrew letters the name Rachel. And then he quotes another Shul Chaim Shal that says the name was a Spanish name, then even if the people who are getting divorced are from a different community, you would write it in the Sephardi way because it's a Sephardi name in its way. So all those kinds of issues I skipped. There's details here about how you write letters, the names, and I didn't want to get bogged down too much into that kind of stuff. So we go on. So he had that discussion with Reuven Katz. He showed it to him, and they came to their agreement about how to write the name. So now, he says, but there's something else that Reb Rafael brought up. Reb Shila Rafael brings up another issue that a French Jew came to them, and his name was Armand, is the way I would say it in English. A-R-M-O-N-D, I think. And that's the way it's written in the Hebrew. Originally, it's Aleph Resh Mem Vav Nun Dalet. Reb Rafael says, but you know, in French, they don't say Armand. They say Armand, right? And therefore, halachically, you should write the name as Aleph Resh Mem Vav Nun, because that Dalet, that D sound, is silent in the French. So, and Rav Yosef himself, in a previous volume of Yabia Omer, had said this. And therefore, in Gittin that come from France, you see that the people of France, when they did in France, have to write Gittin. They write it as a name like that. They would write it as Aleph Resh Mem Vav Nun. They would ignore that D, which is an interesting question because I'm not sure that it's really Armand. It's Armand. I think there is a D element. Anyway, it's silent enough that was what the tradition in France was. You see Gittin from France that do that, and therefore Rav Yosef thinks that's true. Whereas this Av Beit Din, this guy in Yerushalayim, this unnamed person who Rav Shila Rafael is clearly having conflict with, was insisting that you have to write Armand because that's the way it's spelled. Aleph Resh Mem Vav Nun Dalet. So there, Rav Yosef says, there you're right. You, Rav Shila Rafael, you have to disagree with that, and you have to stop him from writing it that way. Because when I wrote that you write the name as Armon, I had Gedolim that I was relying on, that when we write names in Gittin, we don't rely on the spelling of the name, we rely on the pronunciation of the name. And the spelling could be whatever it is. The history of spelling is a field of its own, but it doesn't matter for Gittin purposes. Writing names in Gittin, how it was originally spelled, or how it is spelled now, it matters how it's pronounced. And you write it so that when you read the get, and you read it according to your tradition of writing the names in Hebrew letters, the sound that will come out upon reading that get will be the sound of the name as it's pronounced. I had an interesting case here. It doesn't matter for ketubah, but I recently was really honored to sign a certain ketubah, and I signed the ketubah, and the man who was reading the ketubah, who was honored with the reading of the ketubah, knew me. So my name in Hebrew is now spelled Resh Aleph Tet Shin Tet Yud Nun, which should have been read as Rutstein, because that's the Hebrew pronunciation of our name, because that's how we do it. But he knew me. So he said Rothstein when he read the letters. So it was an interesting kind of thing. So that's what Rav Yosef is saying. You don't care about the spelling of the letters. You care about the spelling of the name originally. You care about the pronunciation of the name and reproducing that in the way we write the name in the get. And therefore, this Av Beit Din needs to go back and do it better and do it differently and to write Armon, not Armand, even though it's spelled that way. So too, he says, I've said this previously in Yabia Omer about names that have their letters doubled in their original language, like Billy and Jimmy and Stella. Right? These are all names that have a double L in them. So there are those who thought you should write a double Lamed. And Rav Yosef holds it's not true, because if you write a double Lamed, people will think that you have to double the pronunciation as well, meaning if the name was Billy or Stella, which it may have originally been, but nowadays it's Stella, and you can't, in the hearing of it, hear that there's a second L, so therefore it says you don't write a second lamed in the name either, because that will confuse people, and that's a problem. And continuing with this theme, he says, I also, when I was in Egypt, very safe, early on in his life, right around the Kobam Medina, when he was late in his late 20s, spent a year or two in Cairo working there as head of a court, and I think it didn't work out that well, and he eventually moved back to Israel, but he was working in Cairo. He says that there was a get that was sent from France, from Paris, and it was going to be given in Egypt, so they were the Beit Din that was going to authorize the giving of the get, and the get had the name in it, Isidore. And the Isidore was written Aleph Yud Zion Yud Dalet Aleph Resh. So that last sound, Isidore, was written as an Aleph, which is sort of Isidar in the Ashkenaz pronunciation, whereas the Sephardi custom, the Egyptian custom at the time, was to write Isidore, Dalet Vav Resh, right, to make that Cholam sound, that O sound, but Ashkenazim don't do that. They use the Aleph. They don't use a Vav as a Cholam sound, and therefore, you might have thought there was a problem, but he says, no, we said the get was fine, because in Cairo at the time, there was an Ashkenazi community, and since there was an Ashkenazi community, then we have the right to say that Ashkenazim, we'll see this get, we'll read it the right way, and therefore we can leave it and give the get, and everybody will know that it was given from Isidore to whoever his ex-wife, who his wife at the time, was. Another time, he says, we wrote to a Beit Din in London, and the husband was in London, and the judges on the Beit Din were Ashkenazi judges, and they were writing a get for a pair of Sfaradim, for a couple, a Sfaradi couple, who were getting divorced, and the husband was in London, so they were the Beit Din that was able to write the get for this Sephardi husband to send to his wife. And we said to him, or the Sephardi court in Eretz Yisrael said to him, write the name George as Gimel with a line near the G, near the Gimel. That's the way in modern Hebrew, and in Sephardi Hebrew, you write J, that J sound. So Gimel with a line near the top, a small line. Vav, Resh, Gimel with another, like apostrophe, like a line right after, and that's George. Whereas when they got the request, they turned, now these are Ashkenazim, so they turned to Rabbi Chezkel Abramsky. Rabbi Chezkel Abramsky, who's also no longer living at the time, Rabbi Yosef is writing this tshuva, who was at the time the head of the London Batei Din, the London courts. This was before he made Aliyah, before he came to Israel. And he said to them, you should write the name as George in the Ashkenazi tradition. The Ashkenazi tradition was that the way you make a J sound was Dalet Zayin Shin. That's a J, because it's if you say Dzush quickly, you get J. So George becomes Dalet Zayin Shin, Aleph Resh, Dalet Zayin Shin. And that's what they did. And they sent the get to us. And we couldn't believe it, because we told them how to write the name, and they didn't do it. And we refused to give the get until they write another one. Now, apparently that means that these people, I think, didn't function well, enough of an Ashkenazi community for that to be an issue. Because Rabbi Yosef said earlier in the Tshuva, when you have an established Ashkenazi community, you are allowed to do it. So there seems to be an implication that either the people involved weren't, or that there wasn't enough of an established Ashkenazi community, or just because they were a Sephardi court giving a Sephardi get, they thought that wasn't enough. And they said, no, they refused. He's going to have to write another get following their tradition and what they told them about pronunciation. The Beit Din in London turned to Rav Yechezkel Abramsky, and Rav Yechezkel Abramsky turns to the Av Beis Din of Yerushalayim, of their Beis Din, who was Rav Eliezer Yehuda Waldenberg, Tzitz Eliezer. So this is all happening. Who was the Av Beit Din in London till 1951, and then he moved to Yerushalayim. So it sounds like it was somewhere right in that period of the early 50s, although it might have been somewhat even later than that, because the Tzitz Eliezer was already the Av Beit Din of their court. So I think that did not happen in the 50s. I think that probably happened in the 60s, but I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure of the timeline. But I think it's something like in the 60s that this question comes up. And Rabbi Chezkel Abramsky, Chizur of Waldenberg, says, why are you saying that a get that I authorized, it's on the right way to write the get, why are you saying that it's not good and you're refusing to give it? So that give it part makes me think it must be in the 50s, but I don't think it was. Anyway. Wow, exactly when it happened, I'm not sure. But he's upset with us that he was upset with Waldenberg that we're not giving the get. So Waldenberg says, you know what? I would love to give the get, but I've got two other judges on my court with me, and they're Sfaradim. So Rav Avad Yosef puts it in parentheses, it was Ibad al-Chaim Ani, it was me, I should, God willing, live long, and you write Ibad al-Chaim because you're mentioning somebody who's passed away, Rav Kapach. And that's in the year, Rav Kapach passed away in 2000. So that's why I said this tshuva, even though it's dated to 1983, was published years later, and Rav Yosef is reviewing it and is redoing it. So, as Rav Waldenberg says, they're refusing to give it unless he changed the writing of the name, especially because the husband and the wife are both Sfaradim, and therefore I couldn't get into an argument with them about it. So if this is happening in the 50s and 60s, it could be that by then, until then, Rav Yosef thought there wasn't enough of Ashkenazi community. But in any case, or it could just be that they thought that since these are a Sephardi couple and they operate in the Sephardi world, there's no reason to give a get with the Ashkenazi pronunciation. And once Rav Yechezkel Abramsky heard that, he agreed and he told the London Beit Din to write it the way that we told them to. They wrote George like we write it, like we fired him, write it to Rav Yosef. Gimel with a Shmichik, Vav Resh Gimel with that apostrophe kind of thing. And then we gave the get. So he says, once I'm telling you stories, I'll tell you a story from when I was in the Beit Din of Petach Tikva in 57. So by the way, I think I'm pretty sure the Beit Din of Petach Tikva was before he was part of the Beit Din of Yerushalayim. So the Beit Din of Yerushalayim story must have happened later than that, and why the get took so long, or maybe they asked Rav Yechezkel Abramsky on the phone because they knew him from London, even though he had already moved to Israel, whatever. whenever that show was. But an earlier story, I think it's earlier, it's 1957, he's on a Beit Din in Petah Tikva. And a woman came before us, she's an immigrant, right, from Bavel, from Baghdad, from Iraq. And she's an immigrant, and she got divorced in Iraq before she came. And then now in Israel, she's gotten engaged and she's planning a wedding. And the guy, so that in Israel, weddings are, as we now unfortunately know, that they're not always handled well, but weddings are overseen by functionaries of the chief rabbinate. So whoever this functionary was at the time simply forgot to check that she needed, or forgot to mention to her that she needs what's called an Ishur Nisuin. Ishur Nisuin is the Beit Din discusses with her whether she's been married before, and if she's been married before, the proof that she's no longer married, so that you don't have women getting, you know, getting married a second time without having gotten a proper first divorce. So he says at the last second, he remembers, he sends her, he says, oh, you gotta go to the Beit Din and get an Ishur Nisuin, you have to get permission to be married. He tells her, like, you know, this is like, he sends her a telegram, that she should know. So she comes, right? So in this story, it's important to ahead of time say she has does nothing wrong in this whole story. She comes to the Beit Din, and it's on a Sunday, and it's the morning of the wedding. And that day, as it happened, the Av Beit Din wasn't feeling well. So there was only left him, Rav Yosef, and a guy named Rav Shlomo Karolitz. So Rav Shlomo Karolitz, you look him up online, you can find him, was a big Talmid Chacham and a member of Batei Din, and at some point the Av Beit Din Petach Tikva. He's an important Talmid Chacham as well. So, and much older, I think 10 years older than Rav Yosef. And they see that in the get, the husband's name was written as Vav Yud Chaf Taf Vavresh, Victor. Which we would say, I would say, Ashkenazi would say, that's Victor. And so he says, Rav Karolitz says, that's not a valid get, that's Victor. And the man's name is clearly Victor, it should have been with a kuf. So he wanted to say, and he says, that it's not a valid get, she needs another get, she can't get married until she gets a real get. So this is terrible for this woman because she wants to get married that night. So Rav Yosef says, so I said to him, gently at the first, that the get happened in Baghdad. And in Baghdad, there's an important Talmid Chacham who's the Av Beis Din of Baghdad, is the head of the criminal court in Baghdad. And how can you disregard his judgment so quickly? That's step number one. And that's an important thing that sometimes doesn't happen when you're so sure of what you know that you, even though the other person is also a big Talmid Chacham, also a big Torah scholar, you're just sure you know better. So Rav Yosef says, you can't do that. But not only that, he says, the Rav there in Baghdad wrote this name because that's the way Baghdadi Jews pronounce the name Victor. They take that, what we would call a K or a C in English, or a kuf in Hebrew, and they pronounce it deeper in their throats, and therefore it sounds much more like a chaf than a kuf, not like Ashkenazim do it. And then he quotes a lot of sources that I'm skipping, and I know I'm over time, but I think it's just to me, it's just too interesting to leave, so you got this whole story. And therefore he says the writing of the name Victor depends on the place where people live and the way they pronounce it. And this Rav in Baghdad know better than us how they pronounce it. He wrote the way they pronounce it. And this Rav Karolitz refused to agree. And he says, nope, it's an invalid get, she needs another get, and therefore, and I don't know why they couldn't just do it on the spot, but they couldn't do it on the spot, and therefore you got to delay the wedding. The woman is so upset. Why is she so upset? She's crying, and she's pleading, and she's begging because they paid for the hall, right? So that's going to be money down the drain, and they sent the invitation. We're going to come, and not only that, and she says, it took me a long time to find a new husband. And Rav Yosef says, Shelo kalba adatam to ben zug lishagusha. Women who are divorced, especially in that very traditional Baghdadi community, didn't have an easy time finding second husbands because they were seen as damaged. So notice that. You could theoretically say, well, that's tough on her because what's she doing living in a community like that, or the community has to change. That all may be true, but at the moment we have that woman there in front of you, that's not your job. Your job is trying to help her out. So Rav Yosef says, and I spoke with this Rav Karolitz a lot, and I kept trying to convince him, didn't work. And it was all because he didn't understand, he didn't realize that different people pronounce this name differently. And the Sfaridim, even Sfaridim, he knew Sfaridim, but he didn't know Bavlim. He didn't know people who came from Iraq and pronounce it in that, you know, Baghdadi kind of way. And therefore, he was stubborn and he insisted. He said to get his puzzle, and you'd have to delay the nisuin, the wedding. and I had no choices. Because apparently, I think the Avetin is ill. She's not there. There's only two of them. So there's no way to override this Rav Karlitz. So she has no way to get Ishur Nisuin, right? She needs a document that says she's allowed to get married. One judge can't give it to her over the objections of another judge. If there was a third judge there, they could, but couldn't do it. So she leaves the Beit Din, and she's her hands on her head, and she's crying. And it's all because this Rav Karlitz did not understand the situation. So apparently, though, he says, something that I said got into his head. So he went to Yerushalayim, which could take time, and he heard that there's a guy there, of Salman Chugi Abudi, who's from Baghdad, and he comes and he finds him, and he tells him the story, and he says, why would this rabbi write Vav Yud Chaf Tav Vav Resh? Why wouldn't he write Vav Yud Kuf the way he's supposed to? That's the way he asked the question. Why did he write the name wrong? He doesn't mention the argument. He doesn't mention Rav Yosef's argument. But this Rav Abudi says that exact reason. He gives him the exact answer Rav Yosef did. That there in Baghdad, they pronounce it that way. And that's where Rav Karlitz came back to tell Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, you know, and you weren't willing to listen to me when I told this to you, I'm not sitting on a Beis Din with you anymore. If you can't trust me when I tell you things like that, there's no point in sitting on a Beis Din. So at that point, they called Rav Yosef Katz, who's the head of the Beis Din, to calm me down. And therefore, we sat and we called the woman back and we begged her forgiveness and we told her she can get married as soon as possible. And we did. So that, he says, Rav Yosef closes this response. Actually, I'm skipping a lot at the end, too. That's one of the challenges with Rav Yosef. I want to hear from him, I want to learn from him, but many of his tshuvot are too long to get into this, to fit into this format. But this one I couldn't resist, and I cut out much along the way. But he says, I remember that case all these years later, right? It's still engraved on my heart. And he throws in Yishma Chacham V'Yosef Lekach. Hear the story and learn from it. Meaning he's saying, remember that you can be confident of something and not realize factors that are relevant and then cause a lot of problems to people. This poor woman had to delay her wedding. It happened, but she had to delay her wedding because a guy got into his head that something was wrong because he didn't know the story, he didn't know the situation, the circumstances, and he was unwilling to trust Rav Yosef's reconstruction of the circumstances. So therefore, he now says, I want to talk a little bit more about writings and names, because I see people who are sitting in Bat Din on courts forgetting and things like that, and they don't know how to write names, and they don't understand it, and therefore we have to get into it. So the writing of names is an important issue within Gittin, and it's a malacha of its own. It's like a profession of its own, to know the right way to write Gittin and names, and it takes time to learn it, and there are people who are just not doing it, so he goes on with that. So we'll stop here, because there's more to learn from Rabbi Yosef. He had tremendous amount to teach us, but we'll stop here with a reminder of some of the issues that come up in the writing of the names of Gittin, and some of the issues that come up in remembering and respecting various communities and their customs of how to write various names in their Gittin. That is a responsive day for the 24th of Shvat. Have a great day.